RadioInfluence.com.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, welcome one and all. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping you on track. We are Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Today, a very important show as we take a look at one of the dark sides of sport. A side that might be more concerning than any other as it strikes right at the heart of sport integrity. It's thought to be worse than athlete cheating, than an athlete cheating by using banned substances or performance enhancers, or worse, an athlete betting on their games and their competitions. It's match fixing. And, you know, on the eve of UEFA Euros kicking off, and I wanted to check in, see if FIFA's new leadership is faring any better than the previous ousted, corrupted, and controversial leadership group. It's an absolute mess what happened with FIFA. This group almost buried one of the strongest sporting organizations on the planet. And I wanted to check in on the eve of the Euros to see if the new regime is doing any better. And of course, late in 2015, if you remember, the tennis world erupted once again with serious accusations of match fixing in sport. And of course, the games in Brazil are almost set to get underway, and they're being faced with one of the most serious issues a major sporting event can be faced with: public and athlete health. Should the Rio games be postponed, moved, or canceled? Well, there's discussions right now at the highest level of potentially relocating or canceling the games. The Zika virus and polluted water at the heart of that conversation. Exactly how serious are the health risks? Well, we're going to get to it. But first, we're going to get at the topic of match fixing. Is there anything worse in sport? Players deliberately throwing matches or curbing effort to control an outcome in sport? Today, we're going to ask those questions and more with one of the world's leading experts on match fixing, Declan Hill. He's a journalist, academic, consultant, and author. Declan is one of the foremost experts on the topic of match fixing and corruption in sport. You can check him out at DeclanHill.com. He's got two great books. He's been on the show before, Connor, and we've had some great discussions. His first book was called The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime, and his second book was The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football. So here's the question of the day, and Connor, I'm going to pose this question to you. What do you think's worse, match fixing or PED and drug use in sport? Or is there something else that you can come that comes to your mind? Because this is a big discussion. You know, I was sitting there watching the French Open in tennis, and I saw a couple of plays that I thought, man, you know, a player at that level should make those plays. And I just started thinking about our conversations with Declan. Could it be possible that it's happening? And well, you know, you look at the data, and in our conversation with Declan in the past, we've talked about corruption in tennis. But I mean, I hate to say it, but I have a hard time watching sport now and not wondering if there's something going on behind the scenes, because this is very real. What's worse, do you think?
You know, that's a tough one, actually. I'm going to go with match fixing, though, because, you know, PEDs, there's some guys in sports using it, and but it's not everybody. But if there's match fixing, you're getting honest, hardworking guys out there that, you know, by factors, you know, really out of their control. Could it be the refs? Could it be anything else that are just getting kind of jobbed out of the chance to win? So I'm going to go with match fixing. That's a tough one, though. Yeah. Which way do you go?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, the use of PEDs forces other athletes to think about using PEDs, and it creates an unfair advantage for those who are using it. But match fixing, I mean, this strikes right at the very heart of the integrity of sport and what it's all about. I'm going to go with match fixing. I'm with you. It's a way worse offense in my mind. And to get to the bottom of it, we're going to talk now with Declan Hill. Declan, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff. It's a great pleasure.
Well, there's a couple of big events coming up and a couple of things I want to revisit with you since our last conversation. We are on the doorstep of UEFA's Euro 2016. And, of course, the Rio Olympics are right around the corner. And there's been allegations in the tennis world. But I guess to start off, the last time we spoke, we were talking about the corruption at the very top of the world's leading football, soccer federation, FIFA, and the mess that's there. Where are we at with FIFA right now, Declan? You know, the new leadership is in place. Have we seen progress in terms of how they're operating in terms of the health of the game?
Not particularly. It's been a fascinating time. Look, I was over in Zurich, as you know, met with Infantino, Gianni Infantino, the guy who came in actually in the hotel where he was staying, both at midnight the day before the election and then the day of the election after he was elected. We spoke for some time together. I spoke with a number of the other FIFA candidates. And there was I deliberately said, okay, let's give this guy a chance. Let's give him his due, see whether he can really change the organization. And last week in Mexico City, there was the first FIFA Congress. And unfortunately, all the worst signs possible came out of Infantino. It instead of it being a new FIFA, reform FIFA, it really looked, in my words, like Sepp Blatter light. So in other words, the same old regime, the same old FIFA with the same old weird, nasty tactics, but just with a better media image.
Well, in your latest blog, and it's DeclanHill.com for anybody who wants to track down Declan and his unbelievable information, on your latest blog, you insinuate that even with all the changes in leadership, not much has changed. And there's a quote in the latest blog on FIFA where you said FIFA is now going in the same direction as bankrupt Greece. And I thought that was a very insightful and powerful statement.
Yeah, the only thing I had wrong with your question was the word insinuate. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm saying it directly.
Touché, my good man.
Directly and clearly as possible.
Right.
Look, what I was speaking about was at the heart of many of the good things that we saw over FIFA in the last couple of years was an internal audit committee run by a Swiss businessman by the name of Dominic Scala. And it was his work that was coming out, going through FIFA's own paperwork that identified problematic payments between Michel Platini and Sepp Blatter, which pointed out problems with Jerome Valcke. So it was both the Swiss police, U.S. FBI, Department of Justice, and this guy, Dominic Scala, inside FIFA that was cleaning up the work. Well, at that Mexico City Congress last week, Gianni Infantino suddenly, almost at the last minute, on the last hour at that Congress, pushed forward a resolution to effectively fire their own audit committee people. In other words, if a FIFA executive found out that the audit committee was investigating him or her, they could fire their own investigators.
Wow.
And Dominic Scala, this kind of one of the few heroic FIFA executives of the last 2 years, promptly stood up and said, I'm out of here. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm quitting. And the reason why I was comparing that unfavorably with bankrupt Greece is that Greece as a country wandered in to a very bad situation because there were corrupt politicians that were stealing money, that were signing contracts that just did not benefit the country, but they had accepted bribes. There were a special task force of the Greek police, an anti-corruption unit, that brought forward 20 cases dealing with tens of billions of euros in Greece. But unfortunately, to prosecute those cases, the Greek anti-corruption police had to go in front of parliament and had to get a parliamentary vote to allow them to continue. In other words, the same people that they were investigating got to vote on whether they would be allowed to investigate them. Well, not unsurprisingly, in Greece, 19 of those 20 investigations were shut down by the politicians. So, A, you can see what a disaster it's been for Greece.
Yes.
And B, it's exactly the same kind of reform that is now in place at the heart of the, quote, new FIFA.
Well, we're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, and author. Two fantastic books, The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime, and The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football. You can track those down at his website, DeclanHill.com. Well, Declan, I definitely understand the lines you're drawing here now between FIFA and bankrupt Greece. It is amazing to see that one of the world's most powerful sporting organizations, I guess if we just talk about pure ability to generate revenue and impact a global, population, to see FIFA in this situation, boy, I don't even know the words to describe it.
Well, the thing is, it's really irritating. I'd use much more firm words if we weren't in public on radio and doing a podcast together. But look, it's been almost a year since the FBI and Swiss police moved in on a series of dawn raids and ended up arresting over 41 senior soccer officials, many of them deep inside FIFA. Sepp Blatter is now under investigation. The second in command, the third in command, the PR people, droves of people at FIFA have left. And the Department of Justice warrant indicates clearly that there was a culture of corruption and collusion deep inside that organization. CONCACAF, the confederation that represents Canada and North America, was saturated with corruption. Almost every aspect of the game that those guys touched was corrupted. So you'd kind of think in this annus horribilis for FIFA, they would kind of get it. They would go, you know what? We're kind of deeply embarrassed at how bad this is, at how publicly embarrassed we are. Maybe we'd better start changing. Maybe we'd better start doing things, not just cleanly, but incredibly cleanly. And it seems that inside FIFA, they have not got that message yet.
Declan, do you think there are forces outside of FIFA? And I think you know where I'm going. We had great conversations with you in the past when you were investigating and doing the research for your books about the pressure and influence of organized crime on this sport in terms of match fixing. We'll get to that for certain. But do you think there are pressures that might be coming from outside of the organization that are making it almost impossible to make change within?
Look, I think if you're an average soccer fan and you really want to see changes inside FIFA, it's very, very simple. Just sit down at your computer, look up the email for Adidas, the sportswear company, mm-hmm. and just write them a letter and saying, "Dear Adidas, I really respect your product, you're a great company, but your sponsorship has made FIFA, it's made the modern day FIFA. I'm not happy with the modern day FIFA, and I'm not going to buy your product, I'm going to buy your arch rival Puma until you really put pressure on FIFA. Dear sir, signed," and just send it off. That will have much more effect, and it's something that the average soccer fan can do. FIFA is the house that Adidas built. You walk inside that headquarters in Zurich, Adidas balls, Adidas flags, the sponsorship is there everywhere. Both Thomas Bach, head of the International Olympic Committee, and Sepp Blatter were direct protégés of the former head of Adidas. He picked those guys out in their early 20s and mentored them and brought them on and got them into positions of high power inside those organizations. So really, if we want to clean up FIFA, there's a very easy external agency that could do it almost overnight, and that is Adidas.
Oh, all-powerful. We're talking with Declan Hill, one of the world's foremost experts on match fixing and corruption in international sport. I am going to send that email, Declan. I am going to
Thank
do
you.
That.
Yeah, please do. And,
yep.
And I want to stress that I'm not suggesting that Adidas is corrupt. I'm not suggesting
not at all.
Anything wrong with their product, but they have a bitter rival, and that's Puma. They're both in the same town, a little small town in Germany. They're both set up by two brothers who hated each other's guts. So just say, look, I'm going to buy Puma instead of Adidas until you really put pressure. And if Adidas put pressure, I guarantee you, you would get change inside that organization so quickly. It's the old line, he who pays the piper calls the tune, and Adidas is the preeminent sponsor of modern-day soccer.
All right, the pressure of the public. I love this, and I'm going to start the movement, and you're going to be heading the way there for sure. Well, let's just get a grasp of how international this really is. Your latest blog blog, you know, revolving around this topic on DeclanHill.com is two farces, the Turkish nightmare and Infantino's bladder-like FIFA. Let's get to this. You mentioned in that blog, which is a very powerful read for any sports fan, about the Department of Justice and its look into Latin America and the Caribbean, and the, I guess, the idea of whether or not they'll have the power or the wherewithal to go into Asia and Africa and enlist their wand of legality there, I guess.
Yeah, now we're moving away from the international world of soccer and sports, and we're moving directly into U.S. foreign policy. And here's the inside story. The FBI and the U.S. Department of Justice investigators have the evidence. They have literally tens of millions of documents on the inside picture of what's going inside in FIFA. They have a number of secret whistleblowers inside their investigation. There is no question about it. I have sources that are extremely close to that investigation. They've got it. What they also have is a political problem. And so they've got people inside State Department and various other people inside Obama's administration saying, guys, enough. You've done what you set out to do. You've embarrassed FIFA. You've caused the arrest and conviction. The charges have stood up for people inside Latin America, the Caribbean, Central America. That's the U.S. traditional area of influence dating back to 1821 and the Monroe Doctrine. But you got to stop. You can't start arresting people in Africa and Asia. Particularly, you cannot do the investigation into the awarding of the 2022 World Cup in the Qatar, because the oil area of the Middle East is too important for American geopolitics. And the investigators are saying, sod you, we're going to do what we want. And there's a pushback that's going around inside the halls of power inside the U.S. So we're now waiting to see who will win. But there's no question the information and the evidence is there for the investigators if they want to pursue it.
It goes well beyond sport. We're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, consultant, and one of the leading experts on match fixing and corruption in international sport. And wow, that goes well beyond sport. There are political ramifications there, and that's maybe where it gets serious. Let's switch the topic.
It's already serious, Jeff. This is really getting into.
Yeah.
Are you really going to irritate heads of regimes in the Middle East when you're fighting against ISIS and Al-Qaeda? It's at that level now, because it's a deeply, deeply political conversation those guys are having. And the investigators are saying, sod you, we want to carry on.
Right. Declan, Nelson Mandela used sport as a massive powerful tool to elicit change in his world. Is there an opportunity to shift this to elicit change or to assist in bringing upon change?
Yeah, look, I think the U.S. Department of Justice, I've been on a lot of U.S. media, and they're always surprised when I say this, but the FIFA arrests that the FBI and U.S. Department of Justice and Loretta Lynch, the American Attorney General, that investigation was probably the single greatest coup in U.S. foreign policy since the Marshall Plan, which was the plan just after the Second World War to give aid and assistance to the shattered, war-torn European countries. America became hugely popular for that Marshall Plan. And I think around the world, the sight of people who had been known for years to have been corrupt was deeply popular among soccer fans around the world. It really was a tremendous success for the U.S.
We're talking with Declan Hill. You can get his information at DeclanHill.com. Two fantastic books looking at the world of match fixing in professional sport, The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime, and The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football. Declan, they were both great reads, and they shed...
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, they shed an unbelievable perspective for sports fans on what's going on behind the scenes. What we're reading about on your latest blog at your website about Turkey and the Turkish nightmare, how is this possible? This reads like some kind of science fiction Hollywood script. Is it real? Is it unreal? They're arresting the wrong people, or is it the right people? My head is spinning just reading your blog.
Yeah, and I'm skimming over huge amounts of detail, but step one is that soccer is politics in nine-tenths of the world. For example, I was in Kenya a number of years ago doing a story on soccer there in the slums, speaking with a number of people, and there had been eight presidents of the Kenyan Soccer Federation. Seven had gone on to become senior cabinet ministers in Kenyan administration. The other guy had been shot in a drive-by shooting. So the links between high-level politics and soccer in most parts of the world is really deep and endemic, and no more than in Turkey. And Turkey, there is wave after wave after wave of serious match fixing. So I think one of the things that makes my book strong is that they're based on interviews with match fixers, direct interviews with match fixers. So it's really the inside story, and it's the corruptors at the heart of the beautiful game speaking directly to the readers. And I remember one of those guys was saying, you know what, I love working in Turkey, because Turkey I can buy anybody. I can buy a player, I can buy the physio, I can buy the coach, I can buy the team owner, and I can do my work without problems. It's just so easy to make money in Turkey fixing matches. So those are the two situations. And into that perfect storm of corruption, which is Turkish soccer, there was an investigation in July 2011 which implicated 16 of their top 20 teams in their soccer league. It was incredible. I mean, it was hundreds of people who were arrested. And what we're seeing now, 4 years later, is that thanks to the Turkish president, this dictatorial guy called Erdogan, all that investigation has been turned over. And in that turning over the investigation, he's used it as a perfect opportunity to go arrest journalists, deans of universities, lawyers, anyone, academics, professors, anyone who's been anti-Erdogan, who've been saying, look, we shouldn't give so much power to this guy. So the whole match-fixing world, the whole corruption has been used as a way of seizing power by this power-crazy politician.
Absolutely incredible. We're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, consultant. His website is declanhill.com as we look into the world of organized crime, match fixing, and corruption in professional sport. Declan, I don't even want to shift gears yet because I know we could talk a whole show just on this, but I do.
Yeah, I mean, the Turkish thing is, as some of our listeners will know, I've skimmed over massive amounts of detail because I just don't want to get in the weeds, and I'm just trying to give people who may not be interested in Turkish soccer just a taste. But take a look at my book if you want to read more about the murders, the shootings, the mafia, like outright mafia, like running of that. In fact, one of the most senior godfathers, a kind of John Gotti of his generation, ran his one of his relatives to be leader of the Turkish Soccer Association, and it was only defeated by 2 votes. So it's really difficult to overstate how corrupt Turkish soccer is.
Wow. But I think, Declan, every sports fan should be aware of this, because I think it paints, or at least points to a bigger problem. All right, we got to cut out for a quick break. Declan, if you can hang on, we want to continue this conversation. I want to look at tennis. There's been some serious allegations coming out of the woodwork in terms of that sport and match fixing. And I also want to look at the Olympics later on. So stay tuned, everybody. More match fixing with Declan Hill right after this on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think, like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Legend.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. This is Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Today, we take a look at one of the dark sides of sport, match fixing. Is there anything worse in sport? Let us know what you think. Players deliberately throwing matches or curbing effort to control the outcome. We're joined today by one of the world's leading experts on match fixing and corruption in sport, Declan Hill. Journalist, academic, consultant, and author. Declan, thanks for sticking around over the break. You know, earlier this year, there were accusations coming out of the woodwork steered towards tennis. And I think these accusations took a lot of fans off guard.
Yeah, look, match fixing is prevalent in tennis. It's epidemic in tennis. It's been there for decades. This is something you and I have talked about. Again, let's go through our listeners so that we all understand the basics and stuff. One, tennis is the easiest sport in the world to fix. It's
sure.
An individual sport. Jeff and Declan are playing a tennis game, and suddenly halfway through the second set, Declan, you know, clutches his hamstrings and says, "Whoa, I can't play any longer, I'm just retiring injured." Bingo, you got a fixed match. It's fantastic. You know, it's just so easy. I mean, boxing has had a long history of match fixing as well. But in boxing, at least somebody has to be punched. You know, in tennis,
right.
It's just easy.
Yeah.
So tennis has always had that issue. And number two, tennis 10 years ago had two things happen to it. They began this harebrained idea. It used to be that if you had if you wanted a ranking, you know, an ATP ranking, it was every single match that a tennis professional played counted towards their ranking. So if Declan Hill wanted to be number one in ATP tennis, I had to try 100% in all of the games that I played. And for some reason that is beyond me, they moved 10 years ago so that only the top 16 games in one season that a player played. So in other words, if a player plays 100 games, but only 16 of them count, what he does with the, or she does with the other 84 becomes academic. It becomes, well, you know, win, lose, whatever. It's only those 16 games that count. So a huge window of opportunity opened up for fixing. And then third thing was that the sports gambling market, which is now measured in hundreds of billions of dollars, that moved into tennis in a big way. So you had these minor league games in minor tournaments that 15 years ago, a player A would have been counted, the points would have counted if he played that match or she played that match. Two, there wasn't very much betting. Suddenly, it was worth 10,000, 20,000 euro for that player to just lose the game, and there was no consequences. And that caused a firestorm inside the world of tennis.
Isn't it amazing? We're talking with Declan Hill, one of the world's foremost experts on match fixing and corruption in international sport, talking about tennis now and how easy it is to fix a tennis match. You're right, you know, and since our first conversation years ago, I cannot look at sport the same way. I am suspicious of anything that looks suspicious now. And, you know, when you talk about how easy it is to fix a tennis match, I might be justified in being suspicious.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at many of these minor tournaments, your eyebrows start to raise. And by the way, I just want to stress something. I love sport. I risked my life. I risked a lot of things for sport. And so I'm not on your program, Jeff, as a guy who likes to complain or as a guy who's like, oh, yeah, you know, let's be cynical for the sake of being cynical. I think sport is a beautiful thing. It's great values, great ethics. And I think it's really worth defending. And so that's why I'm trying to fight to keep the integrity inside sport.
No, Declan, I think anybody that knows you and your work understands that purely. That's what you're all about. And that's one of the things we really appreciate and why I feel we're lucky to have you on having these conversations. We have to raise awareness. And, you know, if everybody just steps up and sends that email to Adidas, you know, in your direction, maybe we can get something done. That's what this conversation is all about.
Jeff, I think if even 1% or 2% of our listeners did that, you would start a groundswell moving. It really would be incredibly important. And it's just it's a practical thing you can do. Again, total respect to Adidas. We're not suggesting they are corrupt. We're not suggesting that their product is bad. But we're saying, look, guys, you hold sway in FIFA in a huge way, in international sport in a huge way, and you've been too tolerant of people that have now clearly, I mean, there are convictions of these guys. There are multi-million dollar convictions where guys have pled guilty. You have supported this regime, so it's time to change. May I, Jeff, can I share a story with you that I think it's important?
Absolutely.
For me to share at this point? Part of the reason why I get up every morning and keep the fight against corruption in sport was, as I was saying, I was working in Kenya a number of years ago on a story in the slums of Nairobi. I use that word slums because that's the term and word that the people there also use. And the story that I was working on was a young Canadian who set up a sports league, a soccer league, inside one of the slums. He's done amazing work. The players, the organizers, the coaches, have turned into one of the greatest soccer clubs in Africa. They fought against organized crime. They fought against sexism and racism, all kinds of levels. And it's been a fantastic success story. And I was interviewing some of the young girl players, 12, 13 years old, who were on the cusp of going off to this big international soccer tournament. And I'm hanging out with them and their parents, and they're in these little shacks. They're, 10 feet by 6, no sanitation, no running water, nothing. And these kids are playing their hearts out, and one of them turns to me, and they're with her and her parents, and she looks up to me and says, "You really don't understand, do you? Everything in our life is corrupt. The garbage collection is corrupt. The police are corrupt. My school is corrupt. The exams that I take is corrupt. Everything that I touch, everything in my life is corrupt, except when I walk on that soccer field. And there's 11 of me and my team and my friends, and we play against 11 other girls. And the referee and everything, because this thing is organized, is not corrupt. And that is so important for me in my life." And this is a kid. This is a kid in the middle of one of the toughest slums in Africa saying this. And so that is why I get up every morning and fight for sports integrity and the ethics that sport and the values of sport can show our young people.
We're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, consultant, and one of the world's foremost experts on match fixing and corruption in international sport. Declan, that is a powerful, powerful story. And again, I think that just sort of, highlights the impact sport can have on lives. Doesn't matter where they're at. This whole idea of corruption is driven by one thing and one thing only, and that is money. And you've mentioned this before, some of the conditions that the tennis players play with and some of the soccer players play with are part of the problem. Is there a fix here? I mean, is there a way to go about this where we can maybe, cut the head off of the dragon, so to speak, by, cleaning up how maybe some of the athletes are treated right from the get-go?
Yeah, there is. Look, to share another story with you, Jeff. As you know, I train in martial arts. I'm not a very good fighter. I want to stress that to our listeners. But I trained down in Cuba with some of the top fighters in the world. And I was down there a couple of months ago. And incidentally, the Algerian national boxing team was having a training session. So I was training with some of their guys. There was a Cuban, and I won't mention his name, but he was a Pan-American champion, a really senior Cuban boxing guy, really a good fighter, and he was begging for money to have a Coca-Cola, just like, "Hey guys, can you give me some spare change?" That situation is commonplace inside sport. So former athletes who have no cash, or athletes who are almost at the top but not quite, who are desperate for money. And if we can just get athletes paid what they're supposed to get paid, we would go a major step towards reforming the problem of corruption and match fixing in international sport. Again, that seems like an extraordinary story. Anyone listening, punch into Google FIFPRO, that's FIFPRO, that's the International Soccer Union for Soccer Players, and the words black book. And that is a eye-opening documentation survey of over 3,000 professional soccer players in Europe, and some of the stories that they tell, and this is direct from the soccer players' mouths, is extraordinary. What they have to go through, the exploitation, the extortion, you know, the sheer non-payment of their wages. These are extraordinary stories. So once again, if there's anything I'm saying that strikes our listeners as, hey, you know, this can't be true, go check this out. FIFA Pro, the Black Book. It's on Google. You can download it for free.
We will check that out for sure. We have to cut out for a quick break. But when we come back, Declan, I want to talk to you about the issues facing the Rio Olympics and what we could be facing there in the eve of one of the biggest sporting events on the calendar right after this on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We have something for everyone. National sports radio talents like the Fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like Wrestling Soup and the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. News and current event shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger. We've got you covered. You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com and join us Wednesday evenings at 7, Saturdays at 4. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Today, we are talking match fixing and corruption in organized sport with Declan Hill, one of the world's foremost experts on the topic. Declan, thanks for sticking around. Before we let you go and before we run out of time here today, I wanted to maybe step away from the match fixing in soccer and the conversation on FIFA and what's going on in tennis right now and focus on one of the major sporting events on the calendar that's coming up in Rio de Janeiro, the Summer Olympics. It is plagued, as we head into these games, with major issues. And there's talk right now about potentially postponing, canceling, or relocating the games. And that's something that I think is very concerning. I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Yeah, this is from a colleague and a friend of mine, former guy at Oxford, Amir Attaran, who published a paper in Harvard Public Health Review last month, where he pointed out that the epidemic of Zika, a mosquito-borne disease which basically causes brain-dead children, which is rapidly expanding and going around Central America and Latin America, and one of the centers for the epidemic is Rio de Janeiro. The mosquito-borne campaign, you know, to kill mosquitoes has largely been a failure. And the idea of bringing in 500,000 athletes, coaches, officials, and most importantly, tourists into the heart of an epidemic is really a questionable and debatable idea, because those 500,000 people will then go back to countries all over the world and help spread this disease, which will kill, kill the brains of babies. Is really a problematic idea. So I urge people, this blog is not written by me. It's simply the writing of Atir Attaran, the Harvard Public Health scholars. They've been joined by 150 other public health experts from around the world, Oxford, Harvard, a number of other places, saying we should really take a look at this, and we really question the timing of having an Olympics at Rio in the midst of this epidemic.
So they've appealed to the World Health Organization to put pressure on the IOC to either postpone, move, or even outright cancel the games. And, you know, from everything we're hearing, and not just from the Zika, but also from some of the health issues locally in terms of the water cleanliness in the bay and in some of the competitive venues, there's bigger issues here. And I just wonder if we're not maybe justified here, Declan. It's happened before to major sporting events. Could this be an Olympics that we have to make a good, hard decision?
Yeah, and the problem is, and this is There's a very problematic relationship between the United Nations organization, which is World Health Organization, WHO, and the International Olympic Committee. These two international organizations have signed memorandum of understanding with each other. They've signed agreements with each other. And Amir Attaran and the other public health consultants are saying, other public health experts are saying, look, you're in a conflict of interest. You can't put an independent judgment on a public health epidemic if you signed an agreement with an organization that's going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars if you cancel it. It's just not appropriate. Mm. So we need an independent analysis of this. And I think they're right. I think there is clearly a conflict of interest. And we really clearly, desperately need an independent analysis, you know, of public health priority to go in and say, guys, this is a problem. You know, we got to postpone the Olympics or shift them or something like that. Or, hey, you know what? This can be dealt with. But an independent analysis of the situation is desperately needed.
Yeah, well, we know the IOC has been plagued with corruption as well, bribery. And I guess that might be a story for another day. But I mean, not that that's an issue here, but it seems to be everywhere, Declan Hill.
Yeah, look, it's not everywhere, but the situation here is that you've got a public health epidemic that is killing the mental health of babies and really affecting people, and we don't have any independent analysis. And the idea of bringing hundreds of thousands of people inside the heart of an epidemic is just really questionable. I mean, I wonder if you're somebody who's thinking of starting a family, either a woman or a man, why would you go to Brazil at this moment in the middle of a Zika virus epidemic? And yet we're bringing in tens of thousands of fit, healthy young athletes into that area. So my call out is saying, hey, guys, let's have an independent look at this situation.
Declan, I appreciate that for sure, and you're right. We'll keep a close eye on that as we get closer to the Olympics. We will be delving deep on the show into not just the issues around the Olympics, but also some of the great stories from inside and the great performances we'll be seeing as well. Declan, appreciate your time today. If I were to ask you, what's on deck for Declan Hill? What's up next?
Well, I'm just finishing a book. I've got a great schedule plan for the next few weeks. The book is in the fourth and fifth draft, so I'm going to be getting up about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to be writing till noon every day, and then myself and my friends are doing a little martial arts in the park, and then we're watching the Euro Championship with a great interest. So I will be tuning into the Euro Championship. I think there's going to be some great soccer ahead, and I'm really looking forward to my June.
Great, Declan, and we'll keep everybody posted on your new book. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks again, Jeff. All the best.
All right, there you go. A fantastic conversation with Declan Hill. Connor, you are a soccer championship. Are you going to be watching Euro 2016? It's about to get underway.
Oh, Crush, it seems a little bit shady now, but I will definitely be watching. I look forward to it. I love the international competition, and absolutely I'll be watching.
Right. You know, I read The Fix years ago, and that's why I had to get in touch with Declan, of course, in my involvement in professional sports, and of course, you know, with some of the interesting conversations we've had with organized crime bosses here in the past, I can't help but watch sport now and wonder. And again, it doesn't happen all the time. I hate to paint a bad picture, but I think we have to be aware. The athletes are at risk. The game is at risk, and it's pretty much at every single level. Declan mentions going to FIFA Pro, which is the world's player union. If you go to FIFAPro.org, or you can just Google FIFA Pro Black Book, it'll take you to the page where you can download the 2012 FIFA Pro Black Book for Eastern Europe. And it outlines the problems that players are facing. And it paints a really interesting picture on how this is happening and how this can come about. You know, these players in a lot of organizations, in a lot of leagues, they don't get paid well and they don't get treated well. The conversation in tennis, I think, is alarming, but there's steps we can take. And one of the things I absolutely love was Declan's advice that everybody should write Adidas, one of the biggest sponsors of FIFA and the world's beautiful game, to put pressure on them, to put pressure on FIFA to clean it up. And I think that's something that we could all do. All right, we got to thank Declan Hill for coming on. A fantastic and powerful conversation. Again, his website is declanhill.com. In the weeks to come, the Crush War on Sugar continues. We'll take a look at the Olympics, and we'll also be looking at a great summer of shaping up in high-performance sports on Crush Performance. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.